Well, praise God. Let's just start off with our weekly confession, John. And let's get right into this. I've got a new series here, and we're going to start off. Ready? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Oh, praise God for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for light. I mean, think about it. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Before he came, there was darkness. They had no understanding of which way was up or down, right or left. It was all just a big question mark. But thank God, Jesus came and brought us light. We're starting a new series this month called A Forgiving Heart is a True Heart. And I want to focus in on a believing heart with this first part. One, I say a forgiving heart is a true heart for many reasons. If you're trusting God, if you're believing God and so forth, you are in the process of putting down your own will, your own opinions, your own thoughts and everything, and you are receiving his. And as you receive his, it displaces those old thoughts, those old opinions, those old ways of what? Bitterness and resentment, all the things that contribute to it, lock up your heart in unforgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the deepest and most precious expressions of trust in God. Trust in God and believing God. It seeks God's will above its own. You know, that's easy to say, but is that really easy to do? Not on your flesh, it's not. Your flesh wants its own way all the time. It wants what it wants when it wants it. And it is like this little monster that's wiggling in your hands and you don't know. You know what you do? You take that, nail it down. Crucify it. That's the only thing the Bible tells us to do with our flesh is crucify it. You gotta crucify it. Otherwise, it will always be there and it wants a vote. In every one of your decisions, it wants to reserve a spot for its own seat and its own vote and so forth. And what about this? What about this? Shut up. Put God's word there. Do God's word. And you will be blessed in your deed, the Bible says. It seeks God's will. Look, in John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Notice how he didn't say true. It's just. The justice of God is everything when it comes to this. Just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. What did he send him to do? He sent him to fulfill the plan of redemption and to release God's mercy and forgiveness into a covenant of acceptance. Basically, that's it. He came to redeem you, to forgive you. That's what he came for. And he said, my judgment is true because I don't seek my own will. In other words, look, if he sought his own will, it says this, 2:23. Peter said this, he said, in describing Jesus, is that right? Yes. He reviled not again, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. Now, that means justly. Now, the thing is, if Jesus had to commit himself, who did not revile again. When he was suffered, he didn't threaten back or try to hit back. When he did that and committed himself to the one who does judge righteously, that is an act of total trust, total faith, total believing in a God who is just. And that's what just, God is a just God. You know what that means? It means that whatever is wrong, he will make it right. That's what justice is. That's what ministering justice is. And he ministers. He knows how to work these things out for the best. A lot of us don't want the best for those who hurt us. God does, though. So let's, we got bigger fish to fry than holding a lot of resentment. We got more to do and more important things to do than all these things that snag us to the feelings of this world, to what they want to project into our lives. We're done with that. Amen. We've turned a new page. We have a whole life ahead of us filled with the glory of God. We're not going to do the old. We've done that. You saw the fruit of it, right? Amen. There's one place Paul said, you remember when you first got saved and everything you've been delivered from? It's like, look, we forget those things sometimes. We let them slip. So how many people do you know who have been hurt, including yourself? Wounded, belittled, damaged physically. Maybe somebody lost their business because somebody slandered them or lied about them and lost their whole livelihood. That hurts their family. That hurts a lot of things. And they go through the rest of their life with all these questions and emotions and hurt feelings that really, it's like a root system that has no end to it. And it's like you're trying to follow something that has no end to it. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The questions get more severe, the pressure. And you want them to pay, right? Hello? It doesn't work. You know, I heard Joyce Meyer say, you know, this is fairly recently I heard her say this, that when she met Dave and married Dave, before that she was married when she was 19 to a guy who ran around. He was a drunk. He ran around with other women and so forth. So that was abuse. Her father abused her. Her mother was complicit in that. She was totally betrayed by her father and her mother, her first husband. And then now she meets Dave. And for the first several years of their marriage, she was trying to make Dave pay for all those other things that those other people did to him. Because where you go, there you are. Right. You can't get rid of that stuff until you make a quality decision and say, no, I'm gonna go for God's justice. And I'm not going to hold anybody accountable for something. She was asking him to pay something that he couldn't pay. He was asking for her to accept his payment for their debt. That takes faith. That takes trust. That takes a renewed mind to do that. And here's the thing. Most people who are lacking the ability to forgive is because they feel like if they do, no justice will be done. There would be no justice at all. I mean, I hurt, they should hurt. I failed because of them, they should fail. And you see what I mean? And the walls go up and the devil and the demons are all cheering, saying, yeah, we did this. Hey, look, we ruined God's plan for them. That's what's happening. There's no justice. I'm hurting, they're not. They sullied my reputation. Or how about this? They betrayed something that I shared with them in private, and I held them in confidence to that. And now the whole office knows it. Now the whole neighborhood knows it. Betrayed. Have you been betrayed? You've been hurting like that? You know what I'm talking about. You feel like you've been emotionally raped. Forgive the expression. I don't know anything better to say about that, but it's something that you have been emotionally taken advantage of. And it hurts, and it hurts. Do you think God doesn't know how you hurt? Like you can't come to him like he's real and say, God, do you think he can't see through your tears into your heart and know exactly what's going on? It says he was in all points tempted, so as we were, tempted to not trust God, tempted to walk away, tempted. And he knows what temptation is. Temptation is not what we think it is a lot of times. Temptation is the tendency or the propensity to not trust God in these things. This is the blind spot. It comes in from here somewhere, and all of a sudden everything's wrecked, like a ball come and knock down 10 pins. And here is you've got an empty alley, and the devil's trying to fill it up again. Set those pins up again for you to go knock. And then you want to take things into your own hands and say, well, if nobody's going to make this right, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make it right, and there will be justice. Do you know how incapable you are, or I am, of settling justice? Something going on I need to know about, or? I forgive you.
That's right.
And so you say, there will be justice. And so then the devil goes, ooh, yeah. That's exactly what I was waiting for. I got him right where I want him. He's going to take this thing, and he's going to make it work no matter what the Word of God says. And he's going to go and do it and make this thing himself. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. You try to save your own reputation by attacking them, you are revealing something about yourself to everybody, and you are bringing more destruction to your life than they ever could. They do not have the ability to ruin your life. Only you do. Especially if you're a believer in Jesus. But you don't know what they did to me. God does. He cares. And he needs you to come to him. You know, forgiveness is so close to the heart of Jesus that he wants to give you the... He wouldn't command you to do something that was impossible for you to do. He would be an unjust God. But he commanded you to forgive. It's the first thing he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, in the prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those. When he died on the cross, it was the last thing he said, almost the last thing. He said, Father, forgive them. Forgiveness was just as much a part of him as faith, as love, as the joy of the Lord. He was anointed with the oil of gladness, it says, above everybody, because he loved righteousness. And when you love righteousness, you know, you are backed and counseled by the power of the Word of God. And you have a lot more to give, forgive. You have a lot more power and strength behind you to forgive people, because you have a wealth, you have a treasury that is bottomless, that is immeasurable. You have a treasury in God, in Christ, because you have a treasury in your earthen vessel. You've got to consider yourself rich enough and powerful enough to go ahead and interrupt the preacher. Lori, you're forgiven. And some of this, it's hitting you hard. You don't know what that woman did to me. You don't know what that man did to me. I don't. But I can tell you something. That if God asks you to do something, it's for your own good, because he loves you. You see, if you saw what was going on inside your heart and in your mind, and especially if you saw into the spirit realm and the demonic forces that were arrayed against you, you would go ahead and you would forgive. You would do it. You'd let it go, because holding on to it isn't going to do you any good. And you know what? You and I are totally incapable of settling justice for that situation. You know why? Because justice has already been settled. at the cross. Nobody is getting away with anything. Whatever is in darkness shall come out in the light. That's what it says. Jesus said that. You know why? Because he wants to give that sense of justice. There is, heaven's justice was satisfied at the cross. You know, if there's no justice, then you can't forgive. It would be this wishy-washy thing, and no wonder. But when you realize that God settled this justice, not just for you, but for them. Boy, that can be sobering. The narrative that's going on in your mind has to get shut off. They don't owe you a thing. And if you cancel, this is what forgiveness is. It's a cancellation of a debt. You know how this whole series came about is about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was sitting with Sherry Lipinski in the back just before Healing University started. And we were talking about forgiveness. And, you know, the devil will make sure you have a lot of opportunities to forgive. And I said to her, I think you just need to forgive them because they're human. Just like you are. That's the way you deal with that. And she wasn't dealing with it. It was somebody else who was talking about it. It's like locked up in this stuff. So I turned to Lori and I said, because this had been on the back burner and I finally recognized it. That this was the Lord talking to me. See, sometimes I'm sleeping. And I said, God, that is you. Duh. And I turned to Lori and I said, hey, we got the new series for next month. It's going to be A Forgiving Heart is a True Heart. True heart. A true heart is one that doesn't seek its own will. It seeks God's will. A true heart is one that's motivated by love. And love doesn't exact those things. Love seeks the best about each other, believes the best about others, even those who hurt you. Jesus said, if you forgive those who forgive you, what thank have you? He said. I mean, isn't that what anybody can do that? But your Father in heaven rejoices when you forgive those who have hurt you, those who are your enemies, let's say. In the natural, those who have walked all over you, who have abandoned you, who have taken it upon themselves to just abuse the whole situation. And don't let it destroy you. There's so much that God has inside of you already. You're there. Just get rid of the crust of that stuff. Just get rid of the crust. You see, the reason God wants us to forgive is not to live up to some standard that we can't live up to. It's because he sees what it does to us. He sees the destruction it brings to our life. It makes us want to lean on the arm of the flesh, take care of things ourselves, and we can't do it. We're not qualified to do it. We're not called to do it. And we're out there on our own. It's like the armies of Israel, you can learn so much by battle strategies, and God tells them, don't go up. Don't go up against them. And they went up against them, and they were hurt bad. Lost thousands of men. Because I'm not with you in that battle. God is not with you in those battles because he will not take offense over, he will not take a position against people that he died for and that blood is speaking for. Look, you got to understand, this whole thing is a mess that the devil created, that man gave him license to. And here we are dealing with all these pieces when all the time we have been raised up together and seated together with him in heavenly places far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. Every name that is named, every strategy, every plot, every plan that the devil has for you, we have been raised up so far above that. Be thankful and start praying for them who have hurt you. And when you do, oh, those are prayers that God delights in, that he partners with, that he can't wait to get all over that. And he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And if there wasn't any opposition like this, it wouldn't take diligence. So consider it all joy. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. And while you're turning there, let me ask you this. The question is, do you believe in your heart that God is able to fix your situation and meet justice far better than you ever could? Amen. Do you believe that? In your heart, remember, a forgiving heart. Jesus said, if you forgive from the heart. Look, I'm talking to myself here too. Don't think because, well, Tom, he's a preacher. He knows. Don't think, look, if he's dealing with me about this, it's because he wants to get on you about this. Because he doesn't want you to see your whole future loaded up with a bunch of things that you balled up even worse than they did. How about that? Yes, amen. The question is, do you believe in your heart that God can fix this situation a lot better than you could? And he can do it perfectly. Immaculately, wonderfully, peacefully, joyfully, lovingly. So, if you believe that, let's look at this parable here. And this whole situation right here gives us a little roadmap into how to navigate these situations. But in verse, Matthew 18, verse 15, he says, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone, and if he hears you, you've gained your brother. You know, Abraham Lincoln lived by this situation. When he placed somebody in a high position who absolutely hated Lincoln, he had it out for Lincoln. He wanted to remove Lincoln. He wanted to do everything he could to kind of get him impeached from office, and he put him up in a high position. And somebody said, why are you doing that? Are you an idiot or what? He's going to stab you right in the back. He said, well, if I've won my brother, I have eliminated an enemy. Hold your enemies close. Hold your friends close, but your enemies closer. Let them see your heart. Let them know who you really are. This is an opportunity for the new creation to be activated, for your new creation to be exercised in these things. So if you've won your brother. You've gained your brother. Peace. See what peace that is? To go through life with the rest of your life, animosity against that person is a drudgery, man. That's a load of bricks on your back you don't want to carry. But if you've gained your brother, if you've won him, and now you have peace. Because I remember I was in prep school, my first year of prep school. My father sent me to boarding school because he didn't know what else to do with me. I'll be self-disclosure here. I mean, when I was 14 years old, this kid, I was over at his house and his parents were away. And we were 14 years old, and he took his father's Volkswagen. We got in and started joyriding. He was going 65 in a 40 mile an hour. We got pulled over. We were brought down to the station. We were put in a cell. I was arrested. And the cops called my father, and I heard him from where. He said, yeah, he didn't do anything wrong. He was riding. But my father didn't count that I didn't do anything wrong. I got in that car. I was just as complicit with him as anybody. And here we could have really done some damage, hurt somebody, or got killed ourselves. And my father, I'm not going to tell you what he said. He said this, too, among all this. He says, well, would you like to go hit your mother right in the mouth? Because that's what you've done. We don't realize what it does to God when we fall like that, when we sin, when we're selfish, and we don't understand what we're doing, yet we do it anyway. And so he sent me to prep school, and there was this one guy during the first month I was there, and I saw him, and there was something arrogant or something about an air about him that really, I said, this guy's, you know, judging. And holding against him my opinion of him that I saw when I didn't even hear him speak yet. And all year long, you know, my animosity grew for this guy that I never had a conversation with. And he was a senior. So the senior sat at the head of the table in the dining hall. And I was sitting, he was here, I was here. And there was a guy next to me. And I was talking to him about the physical science class I had. And there was this formula I had for pressure or whatever it was. And I said, you know, I'm really behind. Do you have time to, we can get together and talk about this? Well, his name is Dick Son King, the senior, the one I had animosity for, not knowing why. And he said, do you have Mr. Haynes for physical science? I said, yeah. And he said, you know, I took the same class with Mr. Haynes. I have all those notes. He said, come on. So he started tutoring me from that point on. This was near the end of the year. And I missed the whole first part of the year of fellowship with this guy who could have helped me all this time because I had a preconceived notion. And if I mouthed off and gave him my opinion and told him off or whatever, before that, I would have missed out on that. But just being quiet and just receiving him, I gained my brother. A little different scenario there, but the thing is, it benefited both of us. Because you know what he said to me after that? He says, you know, this has helped me too, because I remember this foundation I'm applying to this of something, calculus or something. But anyhow, I said all that to be honest and open with you. But you've gained your brother. And if he will not hear you, then take one or two more. And in the mouth of two or witnesses, let every word be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. And the church will neglect to hear him. Let him be to thee as a heathen and a publican. Look, if he's not going to listen to you, and he's not going to listen to other people, and he's not going to listen to the church, he's not going to listen to God. And he is not going to, he's going to poison the people that are around him with whatever he has to say about anything. So let him be like a heathen. A heathen is a guy, he doesn't believe anything. And whichever way the wind's blowing, that's the way he's going to go. And a publican, they were the worst. They were Jews who the Romans used to collect taxes, and they considered them turncoats because all of them were crooked, and they always collected more taxes than were due. So this was an enterprise opportunity for the publicans that they could go in and they could get this extra money and start a little business of loaning and interest and things like that. I tell you, they had a bird's nest on the ground, and they were considered betrayers of the people of Israel. That's the way he said to treat these guys who won't listen. We've got to have the hard edge and believe what Jesus said. If we're going to believe about forgiving people, yeah, go ahead and forgive them and get rid of it so it doesn't affect you. But you need to take an action and bring them to the cross where all justice is. The cross has it has the answer for everything. Everything is settled there at the cross. Because you know what? The ground is level at the cross. None of us are better or worse. You got to be honest with God, though. You got to be honest. So verse 18 says, verily, now look at the context this is in. Verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What's he talking about? Do you remember in the upper room afterwards, after Jesus rose from the dead, he said, whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. In other words, when you remit payment, you cancel the debt, right? So whatever sins there you remit are remitted. Whatever sins you retain are retained. We have an enormous responsibility to minister God's forgiveness and mercy. That's why the devil works so hard to get us offended, to get us in resentment, to get us in bitterness. And we lock up like a tighter than a clam. So whatever you bind in now, excuse me. So whatever you loose or bind is loosed and bound. And that includes you as well. Did you know you have the power to get yourself all snared up and bound up with your own words, with your own actions, and your own incomplicity with the words of Jesus? When you take things on yourself, you get yourself in a knot. The power of binding and loosing is with men, not God. As he is, so are we in this world. We are the ones who ensnare ourselves and prevent God's mercy, forgiveness, and grace from working on our behalf through our own unwillingness to forgive. And we are the one who unlock his mercy, forgiveness, and grace to work abundantly on our behalf. So if really you feel like no grace is in your life, check out your heart. Forgive. Verse 19, he says, again, I say unto you, if two of you on earth shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If you have a hard time forgiving, go get somebody. Say, look, agree with me here. Agree with me here. I need your help. And I'm telling you this in confidence. I'm trusting you and I'm trusting God. I need to get through this. And if I need to come to you 10 times a day or 20 times a day or 3 times a week, whatever it is, help me. Partner with me in this. I need your agreement that I'm going to get through this. Verse 19, again, I say unto you that if two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So you can go into this thing with a partner and come out, go into it with total confidence, knowing that this thing is going to be resolved. And God, there will come a time when the waters will flood in and push you, just like Noah's Ark, and push you above the flood of resentment, hate, and it won't mean anything to you. In fact, it'll bring you to the destination you need to be. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Now, Peter's listening to this, and it's starting to work on his conscience. You can tell. I mean, Peter, are you guys there today? I mean, not me. Me, or amen. Either one, choose one. Peter's, this is working on him. So he comes to Jesus in verse 21, and Peter said to him, Lord, how oft, you know, sometimes when we feel guilty about something, we go to the Lord and start talking King James. Oh, Lord, thou art. Then Peter said to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times? So now Peter is trying to set the standard. He's trying to set the terms and the conditions of this. And Jesus just kicks it over and just says, why would you want to limit God's ability in your life? 7 times? How about 70 times 7? Take the limits off. Kick the gates of hell out of your life, out of your mind. That's where the gates of hell are, right here, by the way. God's given us the power, the keys to unlock the power to kick those things out. And so those fortresses that the devil has built that you have held true for so long, one turn of the key, God will get in there and he will start to flood that stuff out and flood your mind with truth and with light and with power, grace, mercy. So seven times 70. See, if you're trying to set terms and conditions for the Lord, he doesn't respond to that. Take the limits off and let God set the limits and walk in those, and you have fellowship with God. You're walking in the light as he is in the light, and you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you and from everybody, from all sin. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. Really? Yeah. I'll get into the justice side of this next week and the week after too, but let me finish this. In fact, turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3. We got it up there, John? Yeah. Is that right? No. Yeah. I should go get my board. You know, picture this. Picture you holding a board up like this. And the board is protruding out like this. And you say, "Hey! You got a splinter in your eye. And it's bothering me. It's ruining the reputation of this church. I can't tell you how offensive it is that you have that splinter in your eye and you keep rubbing your eye and you keep trying to get... How is it that you can go through every day with that splinter in your eye? And here you got a board coming out of your own eye. And I want you to know that the members of this church, they deserve better than that. With what measure you measure, it will be measured to you. Judge not, lest you be judged. That's another series I think we're going to do. Mercy versus judgment. See who comes out on top there. Okay. So he said, look, 70 times 70. He says, and then he starts telling Peter this parable. He said, that's why the kingdom of God will be likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he begun to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I looked up talents and all of that stuff, and whether it's gold or silver, we don't know. But if it's gold, that's $200 billion. That's 10,000 talents. It's an unpayable debt. And he didn't have it to pay. You see, when we don't forgive people, we're asking them to pay something they can't pay. Jesus, you got to go through Jesus. If you go through Jesus, all things are possible. He withholds nothing. Just say, Lord, I feel this way. I know it's wrong. Help me. Help me. Well, the wounds may be really deep, but nothing so deep. It says, all things are open and naked before the eyes of him we have to. He knows exactly where it is, how it started, what it caused. He knows everything. He knows the hurt. He knows the pus that's inside of you. And he knows how to get rid of that poisonous venom that keeps on lifting its head up in your life. He knows how to do it. He knows how to cut the head off of that thing and take it up by the roots and set you free from it. Yeah. Can you see it? You got to see yourself. Like Dwight was sharing earlier, your imagination is given to you so that you can see what God has placed inside of you and start using it and using it. That's another thing, aspect of it. But see yourself this way. See yourself free. The servant fell down and worshiped and saying in verse 26, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay you all. This man was desperate because the guy who called the debt in, he said, well, if he can't pay, sell him, sell his wife and his kids, his land, whatever, and all until the debt is paid. See, it costs your family when you're not forgiven. So he worshiped and fell down before him, and the servant fell down and worshiped, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him of the whole debt. He owed more than he could ever pay. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence, 100 pennies. Now, this is about between $20 and $100, somewhere around there, depending on the measure of a pence and how they translated that. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all." But he would not. And he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and told their Lord what was done. And the Lord, after he had called him, said to him, "Oh, you wicked servant. Oh, you wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt, but because you desired, and because you desired that of me, should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you?" And his Lord was wroth. That means he was irate. That means that's not a good thing. "And delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all the debt due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." You think he got this message over to Peter? See, Peter was a businessman. He had partners and everything. I mean, they worked on agreements. And if somebody violated them, there was something in the law that said they will do this, 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 and this, and this. Well, boy, I tell you, sunshine. This is why Peter's going back and saying, "Should I only forgive him seven times?" Look, and the Lord is pointing out to Peter, look, Peter, you have an insurmountable debt that you can never pay God. You can never even think about even reaching what you owe God. How is it that you would not be able to forgive a guy a lot more than 70 times 7? And this isn't a whole lot of chandelier swinging on this one, is it? But it will be if you do it. This has nothing but hope and an open door in front of you if you simply do this. This is the hardest thing for people to do because they negate the justice that was done at the cross. So if you take things into your own hand and you start resenting and hating and it grows and grows and grows, you are denying yourself of everything that Jesus bought for you. This is serious. This might be a hard road to look at, but if you do, you will be so thankful. You will be so equipped and so able to come in and help somebody else through that, like that guy helped me at prep school. Regardless of your opinion on this command, get rid of the opinion and just do it. It says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For he who hears this word and does it shall be blessed in his deed." It's a hard word, and I understand that there may be feelings that come up, but God has already equipped you. Whatever you go through doesn't take God by surprise. And since he loves you, then whatever you go through, he has already prepared and equipped you to handle. His Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all the debt due him. So, listen, folks. Verse 35. This is serious. And I'm saying this in all humility because I'm with you. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you not from your hearts do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses." I got to cut to the chase. Say this. Well, don't say this. I'll say it to you. But this is something we need to settle. Others may have hurt me, but no one has ever hurt me as much as I hurt Jesus. Nobody's sin is greater than mine. And I've done some Lulus. Yuck. Others may owe me, but none of them owe me as much as I owe Jesus. Others have snubbed me, but no one has snubbed me as much as I have snubbed Jesus. Every time he told me to do something and I didn't do it, or he said, don't do this, and I did it anyway, that's snubbing Jesus. That's snubbing your Lord. That's shoving him to the side for your own agenda. Don't do that. There's no future in it. There's nothing down that road. Others may have brought ruin to me. And there are people who've done some real damage to me in my life. But no one brought more ruin to Jesus than I did. He sweat drops of blood in the garden. He suffered my chastisement at the whipping post. He took my sins upon himself at the cross and carried them to hell. He was marred more than any man. Nobody has brought ruin to my life more than I brought to his life and caused him to go through that because of my sin. Others may have stripped me of my dignity at times, embarrassed me. But no one stripped Jesus of his dignity more than I did when he was beaten and mocked, spit on and bullied, brought into a kangaroo court. Boy, that's going, still going on. In a kangaroo court that had a predetermined outcome, hung naked and exposed on the cross before all. I did that. A believing heart says, I'm hurting, but God's promise of justice is that he will make the wrong things right. I trust him. I believe in him. I have a believing heart for God and his ability in me to let this thing go and to receive his justice and what he determines is right and wrong. I commit myself to him who judges righteously. I believe that he will fulfill his promise to me as I walk in love and I choose to trust. Even when I can't see the outcome, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and I abide under his shadow and I will say of him, even when I can't see it, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He will bring this thing about, and I will experience the miracles of God because my heart is one with him, and he is a miracle-working God. I believe that there is no law against love. I choose to love. I choose to enjoy. I'm going to have fun with this. I'm going to have fun just hilariously forgiving people. I'm going to have joy and take the joy in just forgiving people. And just because I have the opportunity to do it. I have the ability to do it. I have the Holy Spirit who lives in me, and I am the temple of God who has already forgiven them. But that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon it, before I ever had a thought of unforgiveness, there was that which was from the beginning. And he's already taken care of it. At the cross, where we're all, the law determined that all were guilty. That be me. That be them. Let's end this thing and forgive. Amen. Praise God. Father, I thank you for your wonderful, limitless word that liberates my soul to be what you have called me to be. Everything that you have written in your word for me trumps everything that the devil has. All of his plots, all of his plans against me, I can see clearly now because the terror is gone. Thank you, Father. The fear is gone. I will not fear in forgiving anyone. I will trust in you. I will make myself available to you to flow through me to that person, to pray for them, to regard them the same way you do, as a valued person, a creation of God with the same potential that I have. And I ask you to make this situation right, to take the wrongs and make them right, and be everything that I can be. In Jesus' name, amen. Take that with you. Take that with you.